Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 7:12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. We're going to be glad you hung out with us because we got our good friend Beverly Williams on the show. Beverly is an original member of the Brain Trust, an original member of the show. She is original in many ways, and which all of which I won't go into. She is the world's expert on home-based businesses. She's the co-author of The 30-Second Commute. The SBA said she was the 2002 Home-Based Business Advocate of the Year. And she's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust and our good friend, Beverly Williams. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's always my pleasure to be here with you.
You know, I'm as you can tell, I've got a little bit of a different... My voice sounds a little bit different because of a cold I've had, but I prefer to think of it as a little sexy. What do you think? A little kind of a husky voice, Beverly? Now, wait a minute. That wasn't supposed to elicit laughter, Beverly. Boy, you know how to hurt a guy. That's cold, Beverly.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. I guess I've known you too long to worry about your feelings.
Yeah, apparently.
It's a little gravelly this morning. Let's put it that way.
The heck with my feelings. You know, here I am sick and all. You know, I'm sick and you're just kind of making fun of me here. That's not very nice.
Well, you do have my sympathy. So does your...
Yeah, and I think, and probably so does my audience. You have my audience's sympathy too, probably.
That's right.
But you know, Beverly... You know what happens when small business owners are not quite 100%, right?
Yeah, they keep on working.
They show up anyway.
That's right.
I was talking about that yesterday. That's the thing, you know. And I think that's I know that this wasn't the topic necessarily that you were, or maybe it does blend in with what you wanted to talk about because you know when people want to start a small business, if they don't understand that. When you don't feel well, when you're not so motivated, maybe you're a little depressed even, or you're sick in some way, you still have to show up at work.
You know, I had this very conversation with a client about 2 weeks ago. I've been working with her for probably 4 or 5 months now, and she still hasn't gotten her business plan together or opened her business, and every time we turn around, and I'll say, you know, what's going on with this? Well, I haven't had time to work on it. You know, this happened, or my brother came into town, or, you know, we had Easter, or we had Christmas.
The dog ate my homework.
I haven't been feeling well, or, you know, I had to go get my kid from school. And I think, you know, what are you going to do when you actually have the business open? You know, those excuses aren't going to cut it. You're putting everything else before your business, and you've got that business. Everything else comes last. You know, including your paycheck and your wants and your needs, that business is priority. And if you don't know that now and you can't handle that now, then don't go any further with this.
Be sure to clock in tomorrow.
That's right. Exactly right. And there are times when, you know, it sounds harsh on my part, I know, but that's the harsh reality of being a business owner. It doesn't matter how you feel or what's going on in your life otherwise, that business is it.
It sounds to me like she'd fallen in love with the romance, the romantic idea of being a business owner.
Yes, I think, well, in this particular situation, I think it's somebody else pushing her to do it. And so, you know, we did sit down about a week and a half ago and have a heart-to-heart. Yeah. That one is...
You can be pushed to go get a job, and that might work. But you can't be pushed to go start a business. That will not work.
No, you can't. You know,
that's a natural law, Beverly.
There's really two examples here that I wanted to talk about today. It fits right in with what you're saying. One is this person who let everything else come in front of getting their business plan together. The other one was a young lady who has just been determined that she was going to open a retail store. This doesn't happen to be a home-based business, but it's a very good example of why you should write a business plan. And she has spent, she doesn't have the experience nor the education that I would like her to have to be able to open a retail store. But every time I asked her to do something, she did it. She didn't necessarily know how to do it on her own, and I was very concerned about that. But I couldn't fault her for getting the job done when she was told what it was needed to be done. And then she did begin to think on her own and started anticipating what needed to be done and going out and doing it. I'd ask her to do something, and before we got out of our meeting, she had half the information together.
Mm-hmm.
After writing the business plan and looking at the financials, she sat down and she looked at the bottom line, and she called me yesterday and she said, I don't think I should do this. And I said, okay, tell me why. And we talked about it. I mean, it was very obvious.
I hope you said congratulations.
Yeah. She was feeling on the line. She couldn't come right out and say, I should not do this. Maybe I shouldn't. And I said, what is it about being
able
to say no?
She wasn't sure her conclusion was correct.
No, I think it was giving up the dream. It's hard to give up a dream. But when the bottom line shows you that it's going to be so much harder, if not impossible, to do,
right,
it's hard to actually say, okay, I need to give this up. Whereas I have, the other one who won't do the work that needs to be done to prove whether or not it could be feasible or not, and yet she won't give it up either. But I mm-hmm. really consider my second client here a true success story.
Yep.
Here's a young lady who really was trying very hard to make a change in her life and do things for her family. She's a single mom. She had a support system. She didn't have any money, but she had a very strong desire and will to do this. But once she wrote a terrific business plan, and when we did the financials and looked at the bottom line, she realized it just was not going to be feasible for her.
Well,
to do
she's two things happened. I think she saw that she was maybe about to get herself into a bigger problem than she had.
Exactly.
And the other thing I think she determined, maybe without realizing it, was how much of a fire she actually had in her belly
mm-hmm.
for this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because Beverly, and this is something we can talk about in the next segment. Sometimes some people look at those numbers and say, these don't look good, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Right, yes.
And they make it happen.
Yeah.
And when do you know when to go, when to stop? Stand by. Quick break, right back with our good friend Beverly Williams, co-author, along with Don Cooper, of the outstanding book for home-based businesses, The 30-Second Commute. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. Lots of good stuff there will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. You can also find the body of work that Beverly Williams has deposited with us over the last 10 plus years as she has helped us understand more about being home-based, starting a business, being a micropreneur, as some people call it. And Beverly, give us your website, please.
Well, it's www.beverlywilliams.com.
And she operates out of the great state of Garrett County, Maryland, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That little panhandle that everybody thinks belongs to West Virginia.
It's almost its own little state over there, folks.
That's right. It's all one county.
That's what's funny. It's a great place. I've been there, and it's beautiful people, wonderful place to be, and some entrepreneurial stuff going on over there.
Oh, lots.
Beverly, when we went to the break, I was talking about, when you do the numbers, mm-hmm. and the numbers don't look right, they don't look good, they don't look great. That's a go, no-go point, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
And some people would have looked at those numbers and said, okay, like your young lady, and said, okay, this tells me I don't need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's how she feels, then she made the right decision.
Right.
But some people will look at those numbers and say, you know what? I don't like these numbers, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and neither one of us can say that those people would be wrong.
No, absolutely not.
Because, I mean, I've done that, Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you fail and sometimes you succeed.
Mm-hmm.
There's an intangible, isn't there, Beverly? And when you look at those numbers, there's another thing that's not, they can't show up on a financial spreadsheet.
Right.
And it's the intangible of the spirit, mm-hmm. and the will and the drive, mm-hmm. of that person.
Like you said before, the fire in the belly, mm-hmm. makes the difference. And I, in fact, when I was doing a report recently for the county, I talked about several people who, in spite of my telling them they should not start a business, they did it anyway, and they've been successful so far. It hasn't been long enough to say otherwise, but so far they have hung in there and made this a successful business. And I consider that a success story, too. I'm just as glad they proved me wrong. If they have that much determination to make it happen, then that counts for much more than what it says on a piece of paper sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree that it really is up to you. Nobody else should make that decision for you. If you have that fire in your belly, there's no guarantee that that's going to make you succeed. But it increases your chances greatly because you are so focused on doing the right things to make it happen, even if it's to prove somebody else wrong, that you are right on track.
But see, where the business plan and the financial numbers that you talked about in the previous segment, where, mm-hmm. those are so important, is that shows you what the fundamentals are showing you.
Mm-hmm.
That's demonstrating to you what the fundamentals are showing you. If you sell this much and it costs you this much, this is how much you got left over.
Right.
You know, those are real numbers. Numbers don't lie.
Right.
But numbers can be influenced,
mm-hmm.
by that fire in your belly.
Right. Well, and all of the financials are projections. They're with the best information and research that you've done. It's what you think is going to happen in the medium circumstance, not the best and not the worst case, but in the medium circumstance, here's what's going to happen. And at least then you know, when you look at your expenses, anticipated expenses, you have to make a certain amount every day or every week or every month or whatever your period of time is to meet those expenses and hopefully have something left over. If the figures don't come out that way, then you have to relook at the picture and say, all right, how much more do I have to sell, and is that possible? You know, can I literally do it that way? Can I sell the items, or can I go out and get that many more jobs to do? I have a young man who's a painter working out of his house, and he has six children and one more on the way.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. It's a his, mine, and ours, but it's still almost seven.
It still
children.
Adds up to seven.
It does. It does indeed. So, you know, he's looking at how many paint jobs does he have to do at X number of dollars an hour in order to bring in enough to pay the business expenses and provide a living for this many children.
Wow.
And, you know, there's times when I look at him and say, I don't think you can work that hard. You know, there's only so many hours in a day. But now he's looking at, you know, at getting part-time help.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it
leverage.
Is possible. Yeah, but you do have to look at those figures and say, okay, what does this really mean? And, you know, in my one young lady's case, the options for her were, if it didn't work, she was going to be in debt further than what she has been in her life.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that was not something that was feasible.
That's
for
where
her.
She found out how much of a fire she had in her belly, didn't she?
Well, she found that the fire wasn't enough to compensate,
yeah.
for the possibility.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, she's not giving up the dream totally. She's going to go for a different dream for a while,
right.
and maybe come back to this later.
Beverly, good stuff. Thank you for bringing us all this wonderful information and perspectives and real-life stories, too. That was fun.
Well,
good
I
luck.
Hope it helped other people.
It did. I know it did. And thank you for your help, and we'll see you next time.
I'll be here.
Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. Quick break, right back after these messages. 29 after. I'm Jim Blasting Games. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.